For our scripture reading, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 113. Psalm 113. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Thus far we read the Holy Scriptures. May God bless his word to our hearts. The text which we consider this afternoon is found in verse 4 of this psalm. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Beloved of the Lord, this psalm is the first of a group of psalms that is called the Hallel, or the Hallelujah Psalms. These psalms were sung at the three great feasts of Israel, the Passover, the Weeks, and the Tabernacles. They were also sung at New Moon celebrations and at dedications. Jesus himself sang these psalms when he celebrated the Passover with his disciples. It is for good reason that Jesus and God's people sing these psalms. God's people ought to be a people of praise. They ought to be a people whose hearts and mouths are filled with hallelujahs. For God has done so much for us. He has granted unto us such a wondrous salvation. And in showing us this great salvation, he has shown us himself. The greatness of our salvation reveals the greatness of the God who saves us. Oh yes, we ought to sing hallelujah. We ought to sing it especially when we recognize just how great, how glorious, how high our God really is. In fact, it is only when we recognize the highness of Jehovah that we will praise him as we ought. Those who do not recognize his highness seldom praise him. The highness of Jehovah is the theme of this psalm. The psalmist says, Jehovah is high above the earth. He says, Jehovah is high above the heaven. He says, Jehovah is so high that there isn't anyone anything, anywhere that can be compared unto Him. He is high in who He is. He is high in what He has planned. He is high in what He does. Let us therefore, with the psalmist, leave the things of this earth, so to speak. Let us soar above the heavens as we behold the One who dwells on high, the lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Let us behold our God not as so many see Him, as lowly, weak, ordinary, but let us see Him as He really is, our sovereign Savior, the Most High God. With that in mind, let us consider this text under the theme, the highness of Jehovah. Notice, first of all, the biblical fact. Secondly, the wondrous manifestation. And thirdly, the blessed result. The prophet Isaiah was a man who got a glimpse of the highness of Jehovah. God revealed His highness to him in a vision. This was his vision. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. That was Isaiah's vision. And what was his reaction to this vision of the highness of Jehovah? We read of that in verse 5. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Indeed, Isaiah saw the highness of God, and it had a profound influence upon him. It caused him to bow down to the dust before the Most High God. Who today sees God as Isaiah saw Him? Who today sees God as high and holy? Who today has this conception of the utter highness, majesty, and glory of God? On the contrary, today, people make God low. They make Him out to be nothing more than a good buddy. He is a friend, a helper, someone you can confide in. But who sees Him as the Almighty God, whose dwelling place is on high? Today, to most, He is not only just a friend, but he is an impotent friend. One who would love to save everyone, but who cannot because man refuses to make the proper choice. God's will is in bondage to the will of man. God's determination is a slave to man's choice. God must beg and plead until finally he has convinced man to trust him and love him. God is supposed to be the ruler of the world, and yet men make him out to be this kind of a frantic old man who is rushing here and there in heaven, trying to work this and work that, so that finally he will get what he wants in spite of man's sin and rebellion. Today, men openly deny that God is the creator. They deny that he is the sovereign ruler of the world. They deny that his grace is sovereign. Man exalts himself above God. Man is the one who is high. God is the one who is low. How many times are we guilty of doing that very same thing? We don't see God as high. We don't bow before his presence in fear and reverence. As others, we exalt ourselves above God. We murmur and complain about the things that God brings to us in our lives. We question God's will and his plan for us. Or we may go about our business without even a thought of God and a concern for him. We live as if there is no God. Is that the God that Isaiah served? Oh, no. Isaiah served the God of heaven, the God who is high and lifted up. He says in Isaiah 33, verse 5, "The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high." And that is the way the Scripture speaks of God. The God of the Bible is high. Listen to the psalmist as he speaks about God in Psalm 18. "In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears." Now notice. "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet." Is that the description that most people give of God? Have you ever heard someone describe God in those terms? That is a proper description of the true God. The God of Psalm 18 is high. The true God, the God of the Bible, is high. The psalmist in the text says the very same thing. The Lord is high above all nations. In the Hebrew, the word high is the first word of the sentence. We read, high above all nations is Jehovah. And that makes that word high the most important, the most emphatic word of this statement. High is Jehovah. But even that is not all. There is no verb in this sentence. We simply read, high above all nations, Jehovah. And that makes it even more emphatic. In fact, this statement is so emphatic, it is as if the psalmist climbed up to the top of the highest mountain, took in the deepest breath he could, and then bellowed out at the top of his lungs, high Jehovah! High Jehovah! That is what the Holy Spirit teaches us by this text. The one whom we worship and serve is high. The God whom we love and adore, whom we honor and fear, is high. Not only is Jehovah himself high, but his glory is also high. Jehovah is so high that highness radiates from him. It shines forth from his being. And that shining forth of the beauty and wonder, the greatness and glory, the highness of Jehovah, that is his glory. Just as the glory of the sun is the radiance of the sun, the light that comes forth from the sun, so the glory of God is the shining forth of who and what he is, the highness of who and what he is. Thus we read in the text, and his glory above the heavens. Literally, above the heavens, his glory. So we have two emphatic statements here. High Jehovah, above his glory. Jehovah is so high that highness is above the earth and it is above the heavens. Jehovah and his glory are so high that we must say, with the psalmist in verse 5, who is like unto our God, the Lord our God? Can there be found any nation in this world that can be compared unto God? Is there any creature who is like him? Can the highness of some great king, some great monarch, some great ruler of empires be as great as Jehovah's highness? Is there any who is as rich as he? Any as powerful as he? Any as wise and understanding? Is there any whose love is unchanging? Whose mercy is so kind, whose grace is always sufficient? No. Apart from God, man does not even possess these things. You can look the world over. You can search high and low in every corner of this earth, and you will find no creature that even comes close to the highness of Jehovah. Isaiah recognized that. He writes in Isaiah 40, "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him?" The drop of a bucket is the little film of water that clings to the lip of the bucket after you have tipped it over and dumped all the water out. It's nothing. We don't even notice it. We say the bucket is empty when that little film of water is still there. The dust of the balance is the dust that is so insignificant that it doesn't affect the balance. It doesn't change the weight. Isaiah says, you can gather all the peoples of the world. All the people in all the nations throughout the whole world. Put them all together. And what do you get? Nothing. Nothing in comparison to God. But you say, oh, look to the heavens, though. Do you see the brilliantly shining stars? The millions of galaxies that fill the sky? What a wonder. Do you see the sun in all of its splendor? When it's shining in its fullness at noonday, we can't even look at it. It's too bright, too glorious for us. Or what about the angels who stand in the presence of God? What about those angels that Isaiah saw in his vision? Who have two wings with which they cover their eyes, two wings with which they cover their feet, and two wings with which they flew. Glorious beings. And isn't it true that whenever an angel appeared to people on earth, that angel was so glorious that it caused man to fall down on his face before him? Aren't angels glorious? Aren't they high? Indeed, they are glorious beings in comparison to us. But in comparison to God, they are nothing. There is nothing anywhere that can be compared unto the highness of God. Verse 6 further explains verse 5. Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth. Even though we read the word humble here, this doesn't mean that God has a humble attitude toward himself, a lowly attitude toward himself. Literally, we read here, who bends down so low to see in the heavens and in the earth. The idea is God is so high that he not only has to bend down to look at what's in the earth, but he has to bend down to look at what's in heaven. All creatures are so utterly low in comparison to him. as you walk down the sidewalk, have you ever considered that you are stepping on insects? You might kill an ant or maim a beetle. We don't think about that. We walk down the sidewalk, we don't have the foggiest idea of the insects that are under our feet. Why? Because they are so insignificant to us. That's what we are like in comparison to God. Insignificant insects. How does Jehovah manifest His highness? First of all, we have to recognize that Jehovah is high in Himself. That is, His being, His essence is high. He is Jehovah. He is the I am that I am. He is the self-sufficient one who needs nothing and no one else. All that He needs is within His own divine being. He is eternal, has no beginning and no ending. He is the Almighty. All power belongs to Him. There is no power outside of Him. He is unchangeable. He is omnipresent. Wherever we go, He is there. He is all-knowing, all-wise. He is sovereign. He is holy, righteous, good, just. He is love, grace, mercy. And all of these attributes tell us that He is God. Jehovah is God. He is as high as God is high above the creature. He is as high as the infinite is above the finite. In His very essence. We cannot see God's essence. We will never see God's essence. God is so high that we will never see Him as He is in Himself. But we know the highness of His being because He shows that in the works, the highness of the works which He performs. Jehovah shows us His highness in His marvelous decree, His sovereign eternal plan that He has set down from before the foundation of the world. Is there anything as high as God's plan? Anything so wondrous? So grand, so beautiful, from before the foundation of the world, Jehovah willed to glorify Himself by revealing to us His life. To do that, He willed that in Christ all the fullness of God would dwell. So that in seeing Jesus Christ, we would see God. He willed that Christ would reveal His greatness, His highness, in the way of saving us from our sin and making us partakers of His own covenant life. He willed that Christ would do that by going to the cross, by suffering, and dying for us on the cross. Yea, he willed that he himself in Christ would give his life for us. God willed that in the way of salvation, we would be filled with a love for him, with thanksgiving, with gratitude for what he has done, and therefore praise him and glorify him forever. Now I ask you, is anything higher than such a plan? Is anything higher than God's eternal decree? Could you have come up with such a plan? Could anyone else have come up with such a plan? Oh no. This plan is high. Because Jehovah is high. God is high with respect to his work of creation. Oh, what a grand display of the highness of Jehovah. The heaven and the earth did not exist. There was nothing but God. And God spoke. He didn't go here and there and do this and that and exert all kinds of energy. He spoke. He simply said, "Let there be light." And the world came into existence. The world in all of its greatness and grandness. Who could do that? Is there anyone that you know that can do something simply by speaking? If you're like me, you find that you can say a lot of things, but not much gets accomplished. My word doesn't accomplish very much. God's word created the world. Look at this world. The psalmist saw the highness of God in the things that God made. In Psalm 18, do you marvel at the tremendous force of a hurricane or a tornado? The psalmist says, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. When you see a great storm, a tornado, a hurricane, or some such thing, God is flying in that wind. Do you stand in awe at the black thunder clouds that fill the stormy sky? The psalmist says, he makes darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. God is in those clouds. God is in that black sky. It's his pavilion, his secret place. Do you wake at night to the roar of thunder? Do you jump back when the lightning streaks across the sky? The psalmist says, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. When you hear that thunder, God is speaking. That's God's voice. Have you ever heard such a voice? When you see that streak of lightning, that's God's fire sent from his hand. Look at the lofty mountain peaks. Listen to the roar of the ocean waves. Behold the beauty of the flowers arrayed in all of their colors. That is the highness of Jehovah. Jehovah is high in his work of providence. God rules this world. Even though history seems to be so unruly and going every which direction, even though there seems to be so much trouble, confusion, and disorder. God is in control. Even though wicked men seem to be getting their way in this world, so that we see this world going deeper and deeper into sin, yea, the most heinous of sins, God is directing and ruling over it all. He is bringing about His sovereign will, the coming of His eternal kingdom in the new heavens and the new earth for His glory. Even though the world hates Him and rebels against Him, God is so ruling that even that accomplishes His good pleasure. Oh, the wicked don't know it. They don't realize that they are just doing what God has planned from all eternity, and that God is using all of their sin and wickedness for His purpose. They think that they are disrupting God's plan. They think that they're striking a blow against the Lord. But in reality, God's eternal will is being done exactly as He planned it. These wicked men are but pawns in His hand, doing His bidding. That is so true that we read in Psalm 2, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? He sitteth in the heavens, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision." Notice the psalmist says, Jehovah is not rushing about frantically in heaven trying to make this mess into something He wants. He's sitting, calmly sitting upon His throne, because it's all under control. It's all going the way it's supposed to. In fact, He laughs. Jehovah laughs at the wicked. He laughs because it is so foolish for any man to think that he can destroy the plan of God, disrupt the eternal counsel of God, and thus destroy God. That's laughable. That's laughable. Isn't that high? Could anyone else do that? No one. There isn't anyone anywhere else that could so rule that he could sit and laugh. Jehovah is high in who He is. He is high in a sovereign decree. He is high in creation and providence. But there is something else that reveals the highness of Jehovah in a way that none of these other things do. And that is Christ and the cross. Jehovah is so high, we said, that He has to stoop down just to look at what is in heaven and in the earth. But Jehovah has done more than stoop and look. He is so high that He has actually come down. He's come down. The high Jehovah has stooped so low that He has come down as low as anyone can ever go. Without giving up any of His highness, He came down to us in our sin and misery. He came down into us, unto us as we wallowed in the mire. He came down to us in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. For Jesus Christ was not only made of a woman and therefore became a man like us, but He went to the cross. And when He suffered and died on the cross, He entered into the depths of hell. He suffered the agonies of hell, the deepest, darkest, lowest place there is. Look at the cross. Has anyone ever bent so low? That's the highness of Jehovah. Oh, and what heights does Jehovah dwell? What glory! What majesty! That He should give Himself for us. In stooping so low, Jehovah has shown us the highness of His love, His mercy, His grace. He has shown us the highness of His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, His truth. That's what this psalm is all about. We may not separate verses 4 through 6 from verses 7 through 9. Notice, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even with the princes of His people. That is what Jehovah did for His people Israel in the old dispensation, and that is what He does for us today. In bending low, He lifts us out of the dust. He lifts us from the dunghill. He sets us with princes. He gives to us salvation. The highness of Jehovah is manifested not only in the cross and in Christ, but in the application of Christ and the cross to us, in the work of saving us lowly, miserable creatures. We don't know how low we are by nature, how utterly poor and needy we are spiritually. Do we have anything of any value of ourselves? Do we have any righteousness by nature? Any love? Do we have any faith? Do we even have a desire to serve God by nature? No. We don't have any of these things. Not even the slightest drop of these things. We are so utterly poverty-stricken, spiritually speaking. We are so wretched that we hate God and our neighbor rather than love them. Vile creatures, rebels, who deserve to be cast into the eternal torments of hell forever. We creep in the dust with the snakes and the lizards. No, it is even worse than that. By nature, we live in the dunghill. In the dunghill. Do you know what the dunghill is? Sometimes in Israel, things would become very, very bad. so that they had to burn manure for baking and for heating. So they would have to go out into the field and gather up the manure that had dried and put it into a big pile. Kind of like making a pile of wood to burn in the wintertime. That was the dunghill. That pile of manure was the dunghill. That's where we are by nature. That's where we live by nature. So sinful, so low, that we live with the worms and the maggots in the manure pile. Nevertheless, Jehovah condescended to that low level in order to raise us up out of the dust, out of the dunghill. By the Spirit of Jesus Christ, He regenerates us and brings us to conversion. He makes us His children. He puts His love in our hearts. He makes us sit with princes, for He unites us to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, so that we rule with Christ and with all of His people. So that even the glorious, beautiful angels serve us as they serve Jesus Christ. That is what Jehovah has done for us. To show us how utterly high He is. That is not all. The psalmist adds one more very interesting and important point. Verse 9. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Some have suggested that this verse is out of place. It doesn't seem to belong here. What do women have to do with salvation? What do barren women have to do with the highness of Jehovah? This, the high Jehovah, even though He needs no one and nothing, even though He could turn the stones into His children if He wanted to, even though He doesn't need man's will and man's work for anything, that high Jehovah, nevertheless, gathers His church from the wombs of women. He is so high that even though He could simply speak and there would be a saved church, He has ordained to save believers and their elect children. He uses us lowly, sinful, wretched creatures. We who are dust, dust and dung, to build His church. From a physical point of view, it is not a father and mother who produce children. It is God. All of our children are not the works of our hands, but the works of the Most High Jehovah. No woman could bear a single child without Jehovah's sovereign will and His sovereign power. Without God's will and power, all women are barren. Only God puts the joy motherhood into the life of a woman. He gives her children so that she is a keeper of the house. But even more than that, all women are by nature barren spiritually. They cannot bear the children of God. A father and a mother, no matter how hard they would like to, cannot give spiritual life to their children. Yet God gives us the joy of being mothers and fathers of covenant children, that is, of His elect children. He uses us lowly creatures to bring forth the children of the church, His elect children. He takes the sinful, inadequate instruction of parents to teach His elect the ways of the truth and the ways of salvation. Isn't that high? That such a high God, such a powerful God, such a God who does not need us, would nevertheless use us in this most important work of gathering His people. No parent who sees God give salvation to His elect children can keep back from saying, God raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Is it any wonder that the psalmist closes this psalm as he began it? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. That's how he begins. And this is how he ends. Praise ye the Lord. Isn't that the desire of your heart? Doesn't your heart burst with love and gratitude, with thanksgiving, so that you cannot help but praise the highness of Jehovah? We are the servants of Jehovah, the Most High. He created us to serve Him. He saves us to show forth His glory. We who have been lifted out of the dust and out of the dunghill, we should be filled with hallelujahs. We dare not take all of this for granted. We dare not let this become so everyday and ordinary, so mundane, that we have no more hallelujahs. That's the danger. We had better be excited about this. There better be some fire in our souls because of this. Jehovah is high. High above the heavens. High above the earth. There is none who can be compared unto Him. Then let us bless the Lord. Let us bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, let us bless the Lord, for His name is to be praised. For Jehovah is not a buddy. He is not impotent. He is not weak. He does not depend upon man's works and man's will. Jehovah is high. Gracious God, our Father, we thank Thee that Thou art the Most High God, and that Thou hast revealed that highness to us in the works of Thy hand. And especially, Lord, we praise Thee for the highness of Thy work in Christ and through Thy Spirit, the work of salvation. O Lord God, what greatness, what majesty, what glory that Thou shouldst take us who belong in the manure pile and make us Thy jewels, Thy beloved people. May we praise Thee forever. For Jesus' sake, amen.